Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
How did we get 2 hours into the show? That went quick. I guess because producer Jay is back and we have company here in studio, one of my Syracuse students, which is really cool. Are you still calling me Professor Lawrence or do you see me? Because I'm calling myself Amy on the air. Are you still thinking of me as Professor Lawrence?
You're Professor Lawrence, but also ironically, my mom's name's Amy too.
Oh, what?
So it's like, Professor Lawrence.
Okay. Well, when I get emails from students, and I have gotten a few, a couple of your fellow students have written to me to ask me to be either a reference for them or to write a letter if they need it for a job. And I have to remember to sign my emails, not Amy, but Professor Lawrence. But now you're hearing me talk about Amy Lawrence on the air. And you also came to a show when we were in Syracuse. Okay, so really quickly, before we get back to our calls, and Jerry, Tim, Mitch, we're going to get to you. We're asking you, how old were you when you fell in love with watching sports, and what was the team that sucked you in? What was the hook for you? So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. But if you missed the start of the show, I was discussing how Snapchat became toxic for me, and I had to get rid of it. It really was this dark cloud that followed me everywhere. And I got rid of it for a month and then realized I could never go back. I couldn't open that door. It's like the dark side. I opened the door to the dark side. I couldn't do it again. What I've come to find out now, so both Jay and Jake, who's here in studio. Wait, do you like Jacob or Jake?
I prefer Jacob, but I don't mind either.
Okay, well, I want you to go. I always ask people what they prefer. Jacob. So Jacob has Snap on his phone. Jay, I got to make sure I'm addressing you all correctly here. Jay, did you know about Snap Maps? Snap Map. It's hard to say, actually, really quickly. Snap Map.
So is that actually the thing where you see the people in, like, their Bitmojis or whatever those are called, and you like they show their location on, like, the
GPS? They show their location.
Yeah, I know
you
that.
You can see not just, okay, so Jacob, tell people what Snap Maps is designed to do.
You can turn your location on, and people can see you wherever you are in the world when you were on the app recently. So I could have a friend active 4 hours ago, whatever, and you just know where they are and willingly doing it. It's not by choice.
No. Another reason why these apps are sketchy, as producer Jay talks about, they're tracking us is what they're doing. Snappy Snapperton, they're tracking us.
And I believe that they have, like, the like you can click randomly on anywhere on the Snap Map, and it'll show you people who have
so
posted stories.
So you do know about Snap Maps.
Yeah, now it's ringing a bell. It's coming back. I don't use the Snap Maps. I don't have one of those character things. I never have. Never made one. No
a
interest.
Bitmoji. I don't have a Bitmoji either.
I don't
either.
Have a Bitmoji. My friends have them. They send them to me with them, like, doing random acts. And I'm like, why do I need this? Like, why do I care about your Bitmoji?
I can survive without this in my life.
But but you can click, like, a random spot on the map, and it'll show you, like, just location or things, activity going on in that area, or people who want to show off to anybody who wants to see it.
I know it's different rules for public figures. I don't want people to know where I am. I've had stalkers in the past. I turn off location services on everything. Google is constantly getting on my case because my location services on my phone are turned off, but I keep it off anyway.
If I'm on my phone or something and the app or the website says, did you give you permission to use this app? I clear off the website and go to something else. Not worth my time.
Yeah. Blocking. I block notifications on things. I don't mind here at work because I don't live here, but I don't want location services at my house. All right, so Snap Maps, something new and sketchy that I've learned about tonight. Another reason to never open up Snapchat again, even though Bob's mom is going to be very disappointed.
I mean, Bob's mom has a Bitmoji?
Do you think she's on Snap Maps? I wonder if I should warn Bob to ask her what she's doing with her phone and Snap Maps. So on Bob's birthday, I'm going to ruin it and be like, hey, your mom's on Snapchat. Did you know?
I know where she is.
I know where your mom is right now. And I know what she looks like. That's a little scary.
A little bit.
Let's not ruin his birthday. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Find us on social. We also told you we'd get to the phone calls here, 855-212-4227. Jerry, how old were you and what did it for you? What sucked you into sports?
I was 13, and it was a 91-92 cup run, Mario Lemieux.
Did you watch in person or on TV?
It was on TV. I went to a couple games. Went to a couple games during the year. I was at a couple games. My dad took me in the prior years whenever they weren't very good, and mm-hmm. and I think I just went as a placeholder with him just so he didn't have to go alone. And then, you know, in 91 and 92, whenever they went through the cup years and Lemieux became, you know, a superstar. I mean, he was a superstar when he came in at league, but whenever he really became a superstar, I was completely hooked at that time. I've been hooked with Penguin hockey ever since. And, you know, we've been blessed in Pittsburgh with seeing some really great hockey players. I know,
yes.
I know other towns have seen it too, but, you know, in Pittsburgh, it's over the last 30 years, it's been amazing of the hockey that we've been able to see.
I kind of feel as though there's some symmetry between quarterbacks in Green Bay. Stick with me here. They went from one Hall of Famer to another, right? So Brett Favre, 15 years or whatever it was there in Green Bay, never missed a start forever when he was in Green Bay. They hand off to Aaron Rodgers. He goes 18 years in a Hall of Fame career. Now they got to figure out what they have in Jordan Love. But that's a little bit how I see the Pittsburgh Penguins. There wasn't much of a gap, or there wasn't really a gap, between Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby. And I swear Sidney Crosby's got to be 45 by now, and yet he's not. He's been in the league forever. So here's my question for you, Jerry.
I agree.
Yeah. Who's the bigger hockey icon in Pittsburgh? Is it Mario or is it Sidney?
Oh, it's definitely Mario.
Okay.
I mean, Sydney's there with the younger group, but us...
The younger group.
People that got to see... us people that got to see Mario play in person, it is definitely Lemieux. He's just a... He was just a talent to see. You know, he would get the puck and the whole place would just stand and cheer. I mean, it was just incredible to see. I'm sure I never got to see Gretzky in purpose in person, but I'm sure it was the same thing with him too. It was just another level.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff, Jerry. I appreciate it. That's what sucked you into sports, and you are now stuck.
Yes, I am.
Thank you for your call from Pittsburgh. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mitch is listening in Great Falls, Montana. What about you, Mitch? What sucked you in, and how old were you?
Amy, how are you doing? I was 10 years old. And the 1990 Super Bowl between the San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos.
Oh, great. Thanks for bringing that up.
Just I mean, it was just poetry in motion.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and I'm sitting on the floor watching the console TV. You know, we got, you know, three stations back in the day, you know, but... you know, that's what got me into watching sports. I'd always played sports, but that's what got me into watching. And I wanted to tell you, Amy, mm-hmm. you have a terrific show.
Thank you.
And it is so relaxing to listen to you at night rather than everybody squabbling and stuff on the radio.
Squabbling.
It's kind of crazy.
Okay.
It was squabbling. Totally. Put that in your book, squabbling.
I like it.
But, I mean, and then talking to their callers like they're idiots when they have an opinion and stuff. You never do that. And I just want to tell you thank you. Love listening to you.
I appreciate that. I'm glad it's relaxing. That is, well, I want it to be fun and entertaining. Sometimes I know my laugh has got to wake up the dead. But I do enjoy just kind of hanging out and not taking sports too seriously. It's not life or death. It's just sports.
Exactly. It's just sports. And honestly, just it's almost like I feel like I'm having a conversation with a friend in my living room.
Boom. And that's definitely what I'm going for.
That's what I love about your show. So keep doing what you're doing. I will keep listening, okay?
Thank you, sir. Good to talk to you. In Great Falls, Montana, is that where our affiliate is?
Yeah. That'd be 99.9.
Awesome. I love it.
CBS Sports, yep.
I think that's amazing. We reach Great Falls. Good to know. Mitch, great to talk to you. Call anytime.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Let's talk to John, who's in Massachusetts. John, welcome to After Hours. What team sucked you in and how old were you?
Well, actually, coincidentally, it's another Pittsburgh team, but in this case, it was the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm originally a Pittsburgh area native.
Gotcha.
And I was 7 years old. I'm 71 now, so this was 1959. And my first Steeler game was at Forbes Field, where they play baseball and football there. Obviously, it no longer exists. Some people might not even know what I'm talking about, but they went from Forbes Field. And it was, I remember the date and the score of the game. It was December 13th, 1959.
Whoa.
And I'd like to tell people this jokingly when I told the story. It was a game of minor historical significance because, well, I'll do this quick. Most people, a lot of people know that the Arizona Cardinals played in St. Louis before they played in Arizona.
Yes.
But there probably aren't too many people alive who realize that they actually played as the Chicago Cardinals before they went to St. Louis.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, people out there might think this guy's crazy, but you can look it up. Yes, they were the Chicago Cardinals. And this game in 1959, like I said, I say this jokingly, it was of minor historical significance. It was the last game they played as the Chicago Cardinals before they moved to St. Louis the next year.
Mm. Well, as a connoisseur of history, that's really cool. I did not know. Also, no one thinks you're crazy, John. People think I'm crazy. So any level of crazy that you have pales in comparison to me, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
So you're from Pittsburgh area originally. How long have you been in Mass?
Since 1970. I went to college in Massachusetts at Boston.
Gotcha.
And Boston University, and I just stayed here. I'm still a Steelers fan. They're still my favorite team.
How does that play in New England?
It's people up here hate Pittsburgh.
Yes.
It's not just the Steelers. I mean, they don't like the Penguins. They probably hate the Pirates if the Pirates were relevant, which they're starting to be now. But, it's hard up here sometimes. The Patriots are probably my least favorite sports team, so it goes both ways.
Maybe just don't yell it in the neighborhood, and you'll be okay.
Oh, no, I don't. No, but, you know, I go around, and when it gets cold, the weather gets cold, and I put on my Steeler cap on, and you'd be surprised. Like across the street or on the subway or something, people will yell, "Go Steelers!" Or "Hey,
there you go."
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, Steelers fans are everywhere.
Yes, that is one of the teams where the fans seem to spread out, and no matter where you go, you can connect with other Steelers fans. I'm glad to hear that. You keep the faith there, John. New Englanders, okay. We can be a little harsh when it comes to our teams versus others, but I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Let's do one more. Mike is listening in Illinois. What part of Illinois, Mike?
Amy, great to be with you. I'm calling from Peoria, home of Joe Girardi and Sean Livingston and Jim Tomey.
Wow. Very cool.
Hey, Amy, for me, it's a two-part answer. I'm born in 1964. Monday Night Football starts in 1970.
Ooh.
And way back then, that was the only place you could get the highlights of all the football action from Sunday at halftime.
Oh, no.
That's one of the things that made me fall in love with watching sports on TV. And then second of all, as a diehard Cubs fan, on Sundays, they would bring in the WGN broadcast on the local CBS affiliate. And I loved watching Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, Ron Santo. Even though the Cubs weren't in that time period, they were nothing to write home about. But there was never a greater player that showed his love of the game than Ernie Banks. And it just made me love watching sports on TV, and it made me want to play sports. And I was lucky enough to play 2 years of college baseball, and I've never looked back. And I love listening to your show. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
Oh, Mike, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Do you remember your feelings when the Cubs finally won the World Series in 16?
Well, it's bittersweet, Amy, because my dad passed away September 16th, 2016.
Oh, man.
And we would talk on the phone. He just lived across town from me here in Peoria. And we would talk on the phone at night, like, well, are you watching the game? Yeah, yeah. And it was like, to me, it's the same kind of like, why did Ron Santo have to wait till he passed away to get in the Hall of Fame?
Aww.
And it's like, damn you, Cubs.
Yes.
Of course, this is the year you win the World Series a month after my dad passed. So, of course, I remember it. I got a brother in Virginia. I got a brother in Florida. We're on three-way calls, you know, just going nuts about the whole thing and da-da-da-da-da. And I want to say one thing before I go. Thanks for asking me that question, but I've never said this publicly. I want to apologize to Joe Girardi. I made the last out of his high school baseball career in the state finals.
I wonder if he remembers that. That was quite the transition from Chicago Cubs and the family affair, but I like it. I like how your brain goes.
I always felt like I owed him that apology. We lost 1-0 in the state quarterfinals. We got 2 hit by the team that played against us, by the team that beat us. We got only 2 hits, and Girardi had both of them, got recruited Northwest. He got recruited to Northwestern, made the Olympics, and the rest is history.
Oh, I think it went okay for Joe, but we'll pass along your apology, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Amy. Great to talk to you.
You too. Wait, did I miss something? Did I fall asleep? Or did he literally go from, it was bittersweet, damn you, Cubs, winning a month after my father passed, too, and I have to apologize to Joe Girardi?
He's been thinking about that for a while.
He
can't take responsibility for that, though. The whole team got no hit except for Girardi. It's
right.
Not on. That's
not
on
just
you, Mike.
Girardi, but thank you, Mike. He got the last out, though, he said.
Yeah, but, I mean, anyone who was up, it seems like, would have done that, so.
They had plenty of opportunities before that, but he just made the seamless transition. And I have to apologize!
A lot of emotions there.
That was amazing. I think he saved them all up for our show. I don't know if it's happening this week or if it's just periodic. I know that when we have AM 670 The Score joining us, we get a lot of listeners from the Chicago area, and that is probably how Mike was listening. I have a family friend. Actually, he just passed away a few weeks ago, but family friend who lived in Peru, Illinois, which is where I was born, weirdly enough. We only lived there for a few months before we moved to Florida. Then we ended up in New Hampshire, but I was officially born in Peru, Illinois. And until he passed away a month ago, he would listen to AM 670 The Score at night out of Chicago. And he would tune it in just so that he could hear if I was doing the show. And then he'd get all excited. He'd tell his family. He didn't have the internet or anything, but he would tell his family that he was listening on AM 670 The Score. So our thanks to Mitch Rosen, who's the program director there, who not only has allowed me to do shows from there, but is always putting our show on the air when their overnight guy is not working. So I'm not sure if it's all week. I know last week we had Chicago for a couple of nights as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, we'll continue with your responses, but some of these are great. Craig on Twitter, I got hooked watching the Tigers in the 1968 World Series on TV at school. Willie Horton, Denny McClain, etc. That's neat. Let's see, another tweet comes from Jay. I was 7 years old. It was Barry Sanders and the Detroit Lions that made me a fan. That's awesome. And then April, growing up in the 70s, my grandpa lived across the street. He'd spend hot summer afternoons sitting on his front porch listening to the Pirates on the radio. I wandered over many days to join him and have been an avid fan since. Oh, avid! Do you think she did that on purpose? What are the chances she was listening and did that on purpose?
Over 50.
Over 50%? All right. I think you should take credit for it. Good job. Although I have reinforced it. And then one more from Mark. I was about 10 when I fell in love with sports. Portland Trailblazers Championship. Well, that was a long time ago. Sorry, I didn't mean to make you sound old. I just meant most people don't even remember it. I don't remember it. In 1977, sparked my interest before the NFL and the Green Bay Packers became my true love. And Jay is retweeting these from our show account, After Hours CBS. So yes, thanks for finding us on either Twitter or Facebook. I know you're already blowing up our Facebook page. There are dozens of responses already. How old were you and what team sucked you into watching sports? We're having fun with some of these questions. We're on a roll this last week or so. So definitely want to get to more of your responses. Also, Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, they've got some interesting insight on the way the Heat are guarding Nikola Jokic. And we learned in our, it was a stat that we picked apart with our guest in our interview last night about when Nikola Jokic scores 40 plus. The team loses almost every time. That may not be a great indicator of the success of the Nuggets, and Draymond and Steve Kerr picked that stat apart, which I think is fascinating coming from two basketball minds. So we're glad to have you with us. I've got to write a CBS Sports Minute, so talk amongst yourselves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Straddling the top of the arc, looking to his right. Squares up. Hand off to Duncan. Sidestep. He snaps to Jimmy in the left corner. He elevates for three. He gets nothing but net. To Lowry. He wanted to give it back, but held on to it. Pulling it back. Six on the shot clock. Lowry uses a BAM screen. Right back to BAM! Threw it down with two hands!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jason Jackson on Miami Heat Radio. If you missed it, game number two, a 12-0 run for Gabe Vincent and Duncan Robinson in the fourth quarter that sent the Nuggets reeling, and they never recovered once they coughed up the lead to the Heat. This is who they are. They are who they are, and they make no apologies for it. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. I mean, that's pretty evident with the Heat. They're fairly inconsistent, but in the postseason, seven rallies from double figures down. So you can just expect it. Nuggets, you've been forewarned, but I guess you had to experience it yourself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love, love, love your walks down memory lane with us. We're asking you, how old were you and what team was it that sucked you into watching sports? So not playing sports, but watching them. When did you become a rabid fan? If that shoe fits, then you might as well wear it. Illogical, irrational. We make zero sense. Yes, we're biased. You don't even need to tell me. I've had to work really hard to take my personal fandom out of the show. It took me a few years to kind of separate head and heart. And honestly, it is one of the casualties of working in this business for so long. Eventually, you separate head from heart enough, and it's almost impossible to go the other direction, though I still do enjoy sports as a fan, but I can only watch them through my sports casting eyes, through my talk show host eyes. What are the angles? What are the storylines? Where's the redemption? Where's the history? Who did what? What are the emotions? Yeah, it's hard to just be a fan now, but do enjoy going to games, a couple games a year in all the different sports just to kind of sit back and relax and take it in. It's After Hours on Facebook, on our Twitter, After Hours CBS. We'll get to some of your responses. Plus, we've got our phone number, 855-212-4227. But Draymond Green, he may be the next podcast that I listen to a lot. I do this during football season. I try not to do it during basketball season. But how many hockey players, by the way, have podcasts? Is that breaking the NHL code for players to talk?
Yeah, I can't really think of any popular NHL podcasts.
Could you imagine? Well, for players. Right, host, yeah. Could you imagine Sidney Crosby with a podcast?
No.
It would be the worst podcast ever.
I really can't.
It would be awful. You know who should have one? I know he's retired now, but I do like listening to Henrik.
Oh, Henrik would be, you know how I feel about Henrik.
I do.
I'd be sucked in.
Man crush on Henrik.
Yeah, absolutely. You know who does have one who's retired now is Sean Avery. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, Sean Avery's got one.
Didn't he get into a lot of trouble in his NHL career?
Oh, yeah. He was a good player,
I wonder if
too.
He tells stories.
I haven't
could
really
you
listened
imagine?
To it, but yeah, I could see that being interesting. He's kind of a jerk, though, so he, like, kind of, a little bit. I mean, yeah.
Well, people think Draymond Green is a jerk, too, but yeah. I happen to find his podcast highly entertaining and highly informative. If you're looking for a guy who just puts it all out there, he holds nothing back. He talks about everything.
This idiot said...
You clown. You're not a champ. You a clown.
You a clown.
See what I mean? We've got things memorized from Draymond Green. He had his coach, Steve Kerr, as a guest on his podcast following game 2 of the NBA Finals, and they're talking about what they see. We'll pick it up here with what I think is really informative. Nikola Jokic defended differently in game number 2, though he did have 41 points, but only 4 assists. Now, contrast that with game number 1. He had a triple-double, but 10 assists in the first half. I mean, he had 7 or 8 assists before he ever took a shot, for heaven's sakes. So the difference and the adjustments by the Heat in game number 2 with Dre and Coach Kerr on the volume.
Joker, another great game, 41 points, 11 rebounds, but only 4 assists.
What? When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
What do you make of that stat?
We talked about this last year when we played Denver. We just felt the same way that Miami felt tonight. Like, he's just so good as a passer. And I think that's what he likes to do best. That's what makes him go and what makes their team go. I do think what Miami did, they said, all right, we're going to make Jokic a scorer. Let's take away other people. And then the big one I thought was, you know, you mentioned them starting Love. That allowed Jimmy Butler to guard Murray. Murray's the head of the snake. If you just look at it, you go, well, Jokic is the head of the snake. Mm-hmm. When you play a team, you sort of realize, wait a second, he's going to dominate no matter what we do. So we got, this is the head of the snake. And I think they just decided Murray's the guy we got to stop. So you start Love, put Jimmy Butler on Murray. And then you saw, like, they were blitzing Murray quite a bit and really trying everything to take him out of the game.
First of all, so much fun to hear Steve Kerr talking about blitzing in basketball. Different coaches use different terms, but that's kind of cool. And I think what he says is important, though, because it hasn't happened to this point doesn't mean it can't happen, that Nikola Jokic scores 40 points and the Denver Nuggets also win. Now, he's a great passer as a big man. In fact, he may have bypassed Draymond Green, who's considered widely one of the best passing big men. The idea that they will let Joker score as much as he wants, but they want to take the energy away from Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray being the heart and the soul of the team. He gives them the energy. He brings that emotion to the table. Remember, in game number 2, now in game number 1, he went off early, along with, say, Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon. There was a lot of scoring, and it was balanced because Jokic was setting up his teammates. In game 2, Murray was largely held in check until the very end. I think he had 3 triples in the fourth quarter as they were trying to rally. And then he had the one that banged off the rim in the final few seconds. But for the most part, he was held under 10 points for a good chunk of game number 2. And the Heat were able to come back and win that game. So, yeah, maybe something to be said there for how the Heat changed up their defense. And can they do it then in game number 3? Draymond Green, Steve Kerr, putting to rest all of those rumors about how the two of them don't get along and the Warriors want to get rid of Draymond Green. Nah, how often have we heard Kerr say he is the key to our success. It's true. Now, if you could just stay on the court and potentially not get technical fouls every single game.
If you're not going to punch me in my face when you see me, then shut up.
Except we get so many good drops from him. Who's better? Okay, here's a good question. Jay, whose drops do we like better? Mike Tomlin's, Draymond Green's, or Aaron Rodgers? And actually, we mostly make fun of Aaron Rodgers, but we do get a lot of usage out of Aaron Rodgers' goofy drops.
It really is. It's totally fine.
It's totally fine.
Oh, man. It's tough to vote against Mike Tomlin because his are just so I guess Rodgers works that way too. But when you hear like a Tomlin, you don't have to hear it in his voice. You can just like read the context and know that Mike Tomlin probably said that. So that's what I like about his. You know, I got to throw Baker Mayfield in there too, though. I do enjoy the Baker ones.
Okay, but he's a kinder, gentler Baker now. Right, he's not the same.
For now.
He's not right. I was gonna say he's not nearly as arrogant. If he loses the starting job in Tampa to Kyle Trask, he may shrivel up. There may be shrinkage.
That if's looking a little more like a when.
No,
from the videos I'm looking at.
No, no way. You saw the practice video of Kyle Trask. He couldn't get the broads out of a barn.
Neither could Baker. So.
Well, Baker made a few more throws than Kyle. There's nobody on their receivers either. They're just running routes on air, and both of them are just misfiring.
It's really bad. It's really bad.
We're going to assume that's the first time they picked up a football in months.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, well, I don't think so. Okay. On Twitter, on Facebook, how old were you when you fell in love with sports, and what was the team that sucked you in? And by sports, I mean watching them. All right, then we'll get back to your calls. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Here's our latest sports update.
It's put up and shut up time.
Great, thanks.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I love my teammates, the other wide receivers that I'm playing with. I think that we can be something really serious as long as that we take those steps to be, a really good team and a good core. I think that we can do some big things.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of one Calvin Ridley. After serving his year-long suspension for gambling, not just on football, but on the Atlanta Falcons, which was his team at the time, he's back. He was traded to the Jaguars, and now he's trying to shake off the rust and get comfortable with his new quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. Now, the reason I bring this up and the reason that we let you hear from Calvin is because I was sure he would be a cautionary tale for the rest of the NFL. I was sure. I was proved wrong in April when 5 NFL players were suspended for gambling. Not all of them on football, but a couple of them suspended because they were gambling with their devices at their club facilities, which is a no-no. Okay, so you are allowed to place bets on your phone away from the facilities, but you're not allowed to gamble on football. And you sure as hell are not allowed to pull a Pete Rose and gamble on your own team. Okay, so those are essentially the basic guidelines. The NFL is not saying you can never gamble. The NFL is saying, know our policies and don't violate them. You cannot gamble here, and you sure as heck can't gamble on the NFL. All right, so I thought Calvin Ridley would be a cautionary tale. He missed an entire year. That is not the case. 5 players suspended in April, including 4 from the Lions. And now, and this could be bad, you've got Isaiah Rodgers, who is suspended, who is facing a suspension if the investigation does confirm what the NFL thinks it knows, which is that not only did he gamble extensively, but he also gambled on football. 100 bets reportedly placed on this account that was opened by an associate of his under a different name. The NFL can track these things. They've got people they're paying to track these things. Oh my gosh, not just that, but they've got metadata. He also put out a statement on Twitter taking full accountability. It's too late for that. Most of the bets were small change, but there was one 4-figure bet. This is a guy who's going to be a starter coming up, or was going to be a starter coming up in 2023. But yeah, he's already acknowledged that he made mistakes, and reportedly there were plenty of wagers placed on his own team. I mean, he's looking at not just a year suspension, maybe longer. I thought Calvin Ridley would be the cautionary tale, but it's not happening. Players keep walking into that same trap. Either they're uninformed. I don't think that's the case for Rodgers. I think he was trying to hide it. I'm telling you, the NFL is paying people a lot of money to find out who's gambling and to watch and make sure that their own guys are not getting away with it. Do people not realize that? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Ridley's on the other side of it. He's got a quarterback.
This is Flea for This Little Light, a podcast about falling in love with music. I started a nonprofit music school about 20 years ago called the Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. The reason that I started doing this podcast was music education. I'll be speaking with Rick Rubin, Thundercat, Stuart Copeland, Margot Price, Corey Henry, Cynthia Erivo, Sheila E., and Patti Smith.
Please listen and follow This Little Light, a presentation of Cadence 13 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some QB news.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it.
Yeah.
Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown. Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Yeah, we use it as a cheap segue right into QB News. And Trevor Lawrence speaking on Monday after the seventh, someone counts them too, the seventh practice for the Jacksonville Jaguars of this OTA round. And yeah, he's excited at what he sees on the field.
It's been great getting to work and compete a little bit. Obviously, it's not as ramped up as it will be in camp, but just getting, you know, that competitive spirit back, getting to go against each other, you know, whether it's Pascal or just, you know, jog through tempo and team, just being able to compete and see different looks from our defense. They do so many things that helps us prepare, you know, for whatever we're going to see during the season. So it's been good to see those guys and just to see how everybody's improved over the offseason.
He's admitted that this offseason is like nothing that he's experienced so far, and it's actually relaxing. Remember, he was a rookie, drafted number one overall by the Jaguars. Urban Meyer was his first coach. Oy, facepalm Friday, a little bit ahead of time. And then he gets Doug Peterson, but it's a change in everything. Voice, scheme, instructions, how they work, stability. But now he's going into year two with Doug Peterson, so it's a little more relaxed. Of course, he's always got goals that he wants to achieve.
It's just a continual, you know, chase to be better and better and be a better leader and be that example for this team. But also, I think just the little things, the details of the position, whether it's, you know, different progressions, just being smarter with the ball in certain situations. You know, I think you look at our season last year and had a lot of situations where we made a lot of crazy plays, did a lot of things that we needed to do to win games. But how do I just play in and play out, be more consistent, you know, take the check down on certain plays. When do I trust my instincts? You know, just being smart about all that. I think, you know, I do that well at times, but there's sometimes I could be a little bit more consistent and just make the easy plays, make the routine plays every time. And that's where I'm trying to improve more on.
Jacksonville Jaguars are becoming a very popular pick for a team to not only make the playoffs again this year, but actually make some noise in the AFC, not just the South. I would say they're probably the favorite in the AFC South. To repeat, of course, but in the AFC overall, could they be a dark horse challenger to say the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals? Remember how they finished last year? They won their final five games in a row to grab the AFC South title, but beyond that, they were this team that have a five-game losing skid and then a five-game winning streak. They won seven of their last nine to get to the postseason. And then what happened? Well, Jay and I are watching AFC Wildcard Saturday night. They're trailing by 27 points or some such nonsense in the first half because he throws 18 interceptions. Then they come back and they stun the Chargers. Jay's on his way home. We thought the game was over. I think we watched some episode of The Mandalorian or something in the middle of the third quarter. And then, rut-row, look at what they're doing. Anyway, he says it's just to add some fuel to the fire.
It doesn't change anything for us. I mean, obviously, if anything, it's got to work even harder. I mean, it doesn't really change anything for us. Regardless of the expectations, the game is played on Sunday. You got to go out there and play the game, regardless of if people think you're going to win, think you're going to lose. Doesn't really matter. So, and that's the mindset we had last year, being pretty much the underdog in every game, and we got to carry that over this year too. And we still have to have that chip on our shoulder and prepare the same way. You know, we still didn't get to where we wanted to last year, so we have a lot more work to do.
Team to watch. Could the Chargers also crash that AFC party? They tried last year. Of course, their playoff exit at the hands of the Jaguars. What if they add a DeAndre Hopkins? Brandon Staley asked about that on Monday.
Can I comment on that? I just know the amount of respect I have for DeAndre. As you know, I coached Jalen Ramsey, and I've had to compete against DeAndre several times. But so much respect for his game, and we'll see where he ends up. But, you know, we're excited about our group here.
No, it's not technically QB news, but can you imagine how excited Justin Herbert would be to have DeAndre Hopkins?
A gangster quarterback.
A gangster quarterback. Is there any more of a spotlight on any other quarterback in the entire NFL than Jordan Love? David Bakhtiari is part of the offensive line. Of course, one of Aaron Rodgers' best friends, but he's got advice for Jordan.
My biggest thing to him is be you. I don't need you to be anything different than what you were. You don't need to be Aaron. So whatever's comfortable for you, let's do that. We've been doing things here since I've been here one way for a long time. And whatever he wants to take that he liked from it, great. Whatever he wants to take and make different, great. Like, this is – guys play the best when they're themselves and they're their most authentic true self. So that's what I – I've even taken within my own game, and I preach that to a guy like Jordan, and I've always told that to all the linemen, is don't do what I do because I'm weird and my body's cut differently. Figure out what works best for your body and become the best version of yourself. You can take ideas, but you got to make your own. My body's built completely different than Elton. If I ever stood in a frog stance, I would never be able to move. Correspondingly, if Elton ever had a stance about as wide as mine, I don't think he'd ever be able to move. So that's my biggest thing I preach across the room.
All right, so that's kind of vague, but maybe the type of advice you'd give to really anybody. What about Love specifically, your feelings on Love?
I think Love is a very powerful mechanism that can really bring a team together.
Jordan.
I think Jordan's a very powerful mechanism that can really bring the team together. No, he's been good. It's kind of nice seeing him be his own man. You know, not that he ever wasn't, but there is obviously, like, you know the role you are being the backup. So now, like, he knows it. He's, until told otherwise, he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
Thanks for that. Hey, we're going to end with this. Even though Tom Brady's no longer an active quarterback, he's still the quarterback, the GOAT quarterback. Apparently, TMZ has footage of him riding the Tower of Terror as his family goes to Disney. And his daughter, Vivian, she always seems to be the culprit.
Is this it?
Here we are.
You are about to discover what lies beyond the fifth dimension.
I hope that's not what you woke up to, but if it is, our apologies. Vivi always seems to be in the middle of all his escapades. But boy, is he enjoying retirement. Good for him. He screams everywhere he goes. That's his legacy. He definitely does get excited about and passionate about anything that he's got in front of him, including being a dad, which I appreciate. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.